to reading and to the talk.
Lord, please, once again, we ask that you open our eyes to see wonderful things in your word. Amen. How's it going in your Christian walk? Have you got a battle at the moment, a spiritual battle? We can expect a spiritual battle because of what has happened to us. In Christ we are born again. A spiritual life is put in us, and the spiritual life will battle with the old nature that's left behind. There will be a struggle within us. You can expect that, a struggle within. The new nature and the old nature fighting within. You may also be having a struggle without, a struggle with the world out there. Because when we come to Christ, we leave the kingdom of darkness, we enter the kingdom of light, we enter the kingdom of the Lord, and the values of the kingdom of God are different to the values of the kingdom of this world. So there'll be a fight without. So you might be having a spiritual battle, a fight within, and a fight without. The battle with the world around us is often summed up in the phrase, we are in the world, but not of the world. Maybe you've heard that phrase. So I looked it up on Google, and out of about 100 million found, or whatever it was, some large number, the ones near the top of the page said it came from the passage that we're studying. So the person who put that entry into Google said that phrase comes from the very passage we're studying today. And to be in the world, but not of the world, sums up not just this passage, but some other teaching in the scriptures. Jesus said when he prayed for us, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. That's Jesus' prayer. Not that we be taken out of the world, but that we be protected from the evil one. And in Romans, Paul writes, don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then, of course, in this very passage we look at, which focuses mainly on our fight with the world outside, the struggle we have with the world out there, but it also speaks about the struggle we have within. So let me read the passage. It's a short passage today that we're going to look at, just a few verses. Then I'll give you three headings, and then we'll look at each heading one by one. So the passage reads, do not love the world or anything in the world. That's a command. Jesus gives us a command. Do not love the world or anything in the world. Number one. Number two, Jesus describes the kind of person who does not keep the command. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And then thirdly, Jesus speaking through John. John gives us a reason why we should obey the command. He gives us the command. He tells us the kind of people who don't obey the command, and he gives us a reason, because he says the world and its desires will pass away, but the person who does the will of God, the man who does the will of God, will live forever. So let's try and keep that outline in our mind, and I'll take them one by one. And the first one, just in case you start getting worried, will be longer than the other two. So first of all, Jesus gives us a command. John gives us a command, Jesus speaking through John. Do not love the world or anything in the world. Now, it may have been written to these people who John was worried about, but perhaps we should also say it's not just John who is writing, because we believe in the dual authorship of Scripture. What we mean by that is we can read about John, we can read about the problems he's having, but it's not just the word of John, it's the word of God as well. So the word of God says to us, don't love the world or anything in it. Now most of us don't like to be told, do not. Good parents, when they say do not, have the best interests of their child at heart. Do not climb on the motorbike, or do not try to ride the car when you're only five. Whatever the parents might say to the children, they've got the best interests of the child at heart. And so this do not comes from the best Father, the Almighty Father. And the do nots he gives us are for our good and because he understands us. Now many people are troubled or have never heard of God being a good father. They don't know about that. We take that for granted as Christians, but there are many people who can't conceive of God as a good, loving father, but he is. He's revealed himself as a loving father. So a loving father says to us, don't love the world or anything in it. Now, some of you may be troubled because elsewhere in the Bible, we're told to follow God and love the world. Doesn't one of the best known verses in the Bible say, God loved the world so much that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So why, on the one hand, told to love the world, like God loved the world, and another time we're told, do not love the world? It's because the word world has got two meanings. When it's viewed as the people in the world who God has made, or the creation all around us, that's for us to love. We look at the world, we see what God has made, we see wonderful people, and we're told to love them. God so loved the world. But the word is also used of the evil forces in the world, the principalities and powers, the system around us that's under the dominion of the Satan, not God, and that's not to be loved. So children of God love what God loves, and we do not love what has gone wrong and what is controlled by the evil one. So as we look at this command, do not love the world, there are three things that John mentions. The first thing is the cravings of sinful man. For everything in this world, verse 16, the cravings of sinful man. This is the inner battle. The sinful man is our fallen nature. And we read in Galatians that the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit of God. You've got that fight within you. Paul spoke about it in Romans as well. Our sinful nature desires what is contrary to God. Galatians says they are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want to do. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. And then he mentions, Paul in Galatians, the acts of the sinful nature. And he mentions the opposite. The acts of the sinful nature is a terrible list. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. That's the old nature. And if we live to our brute and our base instincts, that's the kind of thing that can come up. We shouldn't be surprised at some of the things that happen in the world. That's the old nature. But we've been given a new nature, and we've been given God's Spirit, and the Spirit produces love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So that's our sinful nature, and we're told to not love that. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man. That's the inner battle. The second thing that he mentions is the lust of person's eyes or his eyes. Our eyes are a wonderful gift from God. Jesus says the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. And we see beauty and nature around us, but we also see things which lead us into sin. So there's good things we can look at, and there's bad things we can look at. And we're told to avoid the lust of the eyes. I want to give you two examples. The first is Adam and Eve. Now, I don't know how you understand the picture in the Bible of the Garden of Eden. For me, it's a figure of speech. And God put humankind on earth, and he said, there's certain things that are not good for you. Don't eat that fruit. Your freedom will be found if you stick in my boundaries. If you overstep the boundaries, you'll lose your freedom, and you'll lose a lot else. Eve looked at the tree, and her eyes saw that it was good. So instead of listening to God, she ate from the fruit, and she overstepped the boundary. The other example I want to take, and I don't want you to think about it too much, is David and Bathsheba. David looked out of his palace, and he saw Bathsheba having a bath. And she was a beautiful woman. And that's where he should have stopped. He had a beautiful wife. Bathsheba had a beautiful husband. But you know what he did? He committed adultery with her. So the lust of the eyes, when we see things we shouldn't see, and instead of stopping, we carry on and we look and we lead into doing the wrong thing. So that's the second thing. Do not love the world, our sinful, the cravings of sinful man, those things we do without reference to God, the lust of the eyes, what we see, and then thirdly, under point one, the boasting of what we have. That's a horrible thing, where we boast about what we have, and we have pride. There's a show on television which shows houses. I don't know if these houses are supposed to be normal houses, but they're massive houses. And each bedroom has got its own bathroom, and the purple curtains flowing with the expensive wood got from Asia or somewhere. To boast about that is what this passage is thinking about. It's the pride of boasting about who we are, the position we've got. We can give God thanks for that. If you've got a good car, praise God for your car. If you've got a lovely house, praise God for your house. But when it becomes a boastful thing, it's distasteful, and we're told not to do that. So, do not love the world. Secondly, John describes the person who doesn't keep his command. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in. And John may be referring to the people he was writing to, that they claim to love the Father, but they love the world as well, and there's something not right about their lives. In any case, even if John didn't write it, it could be written anywhere in Scripture, that the person who loves the Father needs to not love the things of the world which are bad. The wonderful thing is that when we love the Father and his love flows through us, he changes us, and we stop loving those things which are wrong and are controlled by the devil and principalities and powers. So let's aim to follow the Father and to love the things in the world that the Father loves, and not to love these things which come from the pit. Lastly, John gives us a reason why we should obey this command. He says, the world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. Just do what I say. Did your parents ever say that to you? Just do what I say. I think sometimes as parents we get exasperated, or my children are too old for that now, but you get exasperated and they keep on asking, just do as I say. Maybe your parents said that to you. Maybe you said that to your children. But God doesn't say that to us. He doesn't just say, don't love the world. He gives us a reason. On earth, the rust gets them, and it'll be a very silly thing. It'll be a very stupid thing to put all our effort into things that aren't going to last. Certain things we can take with us, they last forever. Certain things don't last forever. And loving the world and possessions and all these things, they don't last forever. So let's invest in what we can take with us. Changed character, love, joy, peace, those can be taken with us. So that's the reason that we're given to not love the world or anything in the world. So what can we take home? What can we take home with us today? We can take home with us two ways of looking at the world. We can look at the world that God made and love it. We can love people, we can love creation. And then we can look at the world and see what the devil has destroyed and the evil system under the dominion of the devil, and we do not love that. So we can be in the world, but not of the world. Let's pray.